good morning. I'm going to get you a little bit closer to the operation of a nursing home. Our study is founded by the National Council of State Boards of Nursing through their Center for Regulatory Excellence, and neither myself nor the other principal investigators have any financial interest to disclose. We have been funded for the last 2 years to organize what we call the Massachusetts Medication Safety Alliance. It's a strategic alliance of 15 stakeholders, including the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services, all of the regulatory bodies in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts who oversee nursing home care, and professional organizations who are organized to work with pharmacies, directors of nursing, and licensed practical nurses. And what we are looking to do is improve the quality of medication administration in Massachusetts nursing homes. And we're looking to do that by having nurses feel more comfortable to use a quality improvement approach to the issue of a medication event. The Massachusetts Safety Alliance has really three parts to it. One of them is the development of a strategic plan to implement something called the Nurse Employer Medication Safety Partnership. And what we're looking to do is to have system remediation of the circumstances surrounding a medication error event. And of course, in order to have that happen, we have to have a very strong operating clinical team within the nursing home. So we had to first of all understand, well, what does it look like within a nursing home from the perspective of the nurses? And in order to learn about that, we used a survey, and it's that survey that I'm going to talk to you about today. A third byproduct of our work has been that we aligned all of the regulations in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts and from CMS that examine the incident of a medication error. And what a surprise, there is no mandate in Massachusetts law to report a nurse who simply makes a medication error. There has to be other circumstances about that nurse in order for that person to be reported to the Board of Nursing. So we were really looking to see what the nurses thought about issues of medication reporting and about patient safety culture in Massachusetts nursing home. We were also looking to have a nursing statewide benchmark. So we took three instruments. One of them was the Nursing Home Survey on Patient Safety developed by the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality. And each dimension of that instrument has 3 to 5 questions. They're then summed into a domain score. We also used an instrument called Determining the Barriers to Medication Error Reporting in the nursing home setting. This was developed at the University of Pittsburgh by Dr. Stephen Handler, who is a consultant to our project, and by Nick Castle, who I've heard mentioned earlier this morning. And finally, we used something called the Marlowe-Crown Social Desirability Scale. What the heck is that? Well, it's a device that was developed at the University of Connecticut, one of my alma maters, in the 1960s to determine whether people are giving you the socially acceptable answer or whether they're actually telling you what they think. And what we found from our nurses was really very interesting. In order to have something to compare our patient safety culture responses to, we used information from the AHRQ national sample, and we were able to isolate the 531 nursing staff. Since our respondents were only nurses, we didn't want to be comparing it to the responses of nursing home administrators or other staff within a nursing home. Guess what? There is no master sampling plan of nurses working in Massachusetts nursing homes, so we had to use a cluster sampling approach. So we arbitrarily decided that we would try to sample 25% of the 437 nursing homes in Massachusetts, and we stratified them according to the number of beds in order to try to get a representative sample as much as possible. We assumed, and we were probably correct, that homes with more beds employ more nurses, so we wanted to be sure that we gave all of the nurses working in Massachusetts homes as close to an equal opportunity to respond as possible. And we found that our nursing homes distributed evenly across the 4 geographic planning regions in the Commonwealth. And as you see, we characterize small homes as having less than 50 beds. Medium-sized home is between 50 and 149 beds. Most nursing homes in Massachusetts are medium size. And then we have the large homes with 150 beds or more. And you see the numbers that we recruited on the bottom line. We were very successful, probably because of the work of some of our Medication Safety Alliance. We contacted 141 homes out of our initial draw of 169 homes. 110 out of the 141 said yes, including some who called in when they got the letter and said, yes, we'd like to participate. So we had a 78% response rate from the homes. We were a little hindered in direct contact with our respondents, so the actual responses from the nurses were smaller. We had an overall response rate of 41%. But still, we got 1,286 nurses to respond to our survey. Again, we don't have a master list, so we had to rely on the director of nursing or our champion in each home to help us understand what the denominator actually was. But this represents the largest statewide sample of its kind, representing the opinions of nurses working in nursing homes in a state. As you can see, although nurses could give more than one response to this question, most of our respondents identify themselves as licensed nurses. This is important for issues of medication safety because in Massachusetts, only a licensed nurse can administer medication in a nursing home. If you look at how long the nurses have been working in the facility at which they reported to us from, most of them have been there 5 years or less. This is a transient population, and we think we got a little bit of a window into just exactly why that's occurring. We had a very low proportion of agency or temporary nurses in our sample. We're not sure if that's because of the way our champions distributed the survey, or if it's because the economy in Massachusetts has been such that most nurses are staying in their jobs. About 22% of our respondents did not work directly with patients, and this doesn't necessarily indicate that they were an administrator. They could also be a training nurse. This is another window into how our nurses were working and when they were working. Most of them were working 40 hours a week or more, and most of them worked the day shift. So the Barriers to Medication Error Reporting instrument has 20 items, and the respondent is asked to rate those 20 items twice. Once is whether or not they're likely to be a barrier on a 1 to 5 scale, and then whether or not they're likely to be a modifiable issue on a 1 to 5 scale. And those scores are compiled and compared. And what I'm going to show you first today are our top five barriers for immediate action. This means that they both have a rating that says they're highly likely to be a barrier and highly likely to be modifiable. And in addition to stratifying them that way, you see that we also have organizational level barriers and individual level barriers. So the number one barrier is the lack of recognition that a medication error has occurred. And this might seem counterintuitive, except that it really is a definitional issue. Under the regulations of the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, a near miss is a medication error. It's one of low scope and severity. It didn't reach the patient, but it's still a medication error. So it's not commonly thought of as such, but that, we believe, is the cause for this particular organizational issue. Good luck, it's highly modifiable, which was good news for us. We began our work understanding that nurses were probably afraid to talk about their mistakes. And boy, did we have that confirmed. We found that they fear disciplinary action, whether or not that's by the board. We're not particularly sure from our work so far, but they're definitely afraid of disciplinary action. They're afraid of being blamed, and they're afraid of liability or lawsuits. And one of the wonderful things about our respondents was they wrote us notes on the back of the survey, and several of them talked about the fact that as they worked for large chains, lawsuits are really a serious concern. Interesting to what we just heard about clinical quality, maybe that's their hedge against some of these issues. But anyway, the comment that was made was every time something happens in state of Florida, where the home was owned, we get another form to fill out. And there was quite a bit of response in that area. Lack of an anonymous error reporting system. Well, if you're afraid of being blamed, of course you want it to be anonymous. This is a challenge for us because the Nurse Employer Safety Partnership is not anonymous. It is a quality improvement team approach. So we thought, well, we have our work cut out for us. Let's see what the patient safety culture is like. So here we have our average percent positive response to these items, these 12 domains on the SOP survey. And on the far right, you see the national sample. And we compared our results to the national sample to say, well, when do we differ significantly? And oh boy, look at number 5, non-punitive response to mistakes. We are significantly less positive. Yeah, there's a very good reason to fear disciplinary action, to fear being blamed, and to fear any other kind of reprisal on the occasion of a medication error. And this is definitely counterintuitive to any kind of teamwork or quality improvement approach. So we thought, well, we need to be working on that. And our Medication Safety Alliance, along with Medicaid and our Quality Improvement Organization in Massachusetts, are committed to making this happen. Other areas where we differed were compliance with procedures. The item that got the most difference here was workarounds. People are, not that they're not aware of the procedures, they don't know them, but they're working around them because they're often understaffed for the number of patients that they have. No one's called in to help when they have to cover for someone who's out sick. This came through loud and clear in number 3. Training and skills, this was really about the fact that there isn't sufficient training from the nurse's perspective on difficult to handle patients. And one more on the next page. Communication openness. The nurses said that really they felt that they are being heard, but there isn't necessarily something done based upon what they're being heard. So for us, this was encouraging because a lot of what we have been working very hard on is to try to develop this model. And we've been developing it in partnership with all the members of the Strategic Alliance. So this is not the situation where myself and my colleagues at the University of Massachusetts with the Board of Registration and Nursing developed a great approach and said, here, do this. This is going to save you. We said, no. That's been done. Doesn't particularly stay that long. We want to figure out up front what's going to make people want to use this approach, because the Board of Nursing has said when an error meets the criteria that were developed, it will not be involved in that incident. And if it is reported to the board, it will not open a complaint. So this is a very, very serious step for the board to take in terms of its public safety mission. And it is relying on the Division of Healthcare Quality, from whom many of these reports about the nurse involved come, to work with them to assure that the Quality Assessment and Assurance Committee within each nursing home is informed of the action of the Nurse Employer Safety Partnership. So, as you see, these are our key findings. We're the first statewide assessment. We found that we have a very punitive environment and that fear of disciplinary action is the greatest individual barrier to medication error reporting. The strength of our study is that we had a low proportion of agency nurses respond, that we administered the two surveys together, and that we have developed the very first statewide assessment from the perspective of nurses working in nursing homes about patient safety culture and barriers to medication error reporting. As always, there are limitations. We had one home that didn't respond to us at all. And despite much, much follow-up and claims that they submitted those surveys, we couldn't find them. So one of the 110 homes did not respond. We could not contact the nurses directly, so we had no way. We did give them a $5 Dunkin' Donuts gift card. If you're from the New England area, you know Dunkin' Donuts. And so that was our incentive. The Marlowe Crown Social Desirability Scale, we put it at the end of the survey, and about 16% didn't complete it. That doesn't mean they ignored it entirely. They just didn't give us all the answers we could score it. For those that we could score, we found out they were telling us what they thought we wanted to hear. Not by a very large proportion, but it was just over that score in the middle that told us that they wouldn't do it any more than the average person. We think this has something to do with the way nurses are socialized, but that's an area for further study. So we are rapidly working on developing the Nurse Employer Medication Safety Partnership, which is a community of practice. We are also, through the Strategic Alliance, developing the Patient Safety Network for Massachusetts Nursing Homes. And we're doing it without any funding but from the National Council of State Boards of Nursing right now. We intend to have our network in place and then put the technology on top of it that will help people transmit their information to each other. And we also have developed a statewide benchmark. We know that 40 of our 437 nursing homes did the SOP survey as part of their quality improvement organization this year. And we're hopeful that by working with CMS as we are, that maybe their next focus after pressure ulcers, which is the current focus in Massachusetts, will be on medication safety. So I thank you very much for your attention this morning.